Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Lords of Easy Money, How the Federal Reserve Broke the American Economy is an investigative economics book by Christopher Leonard that examines the Federal Reserve's response to the 2008 financial crisis and its long aftermath. Rather than offering a standard institutional history, the book focuses on how ultra-low interest rates, quantitative easing, and other emergency measures became a prolonged era of easy money that reshaped markets, corporate behavior, and inequality. Leonard explains the Fed as a central force in modern American life, showing how decisions made inside a technically complex and politically insulated institution could affect asset prices, debt markets, employment, and public confidence. The book is written for general readers but grounded in reporting on policymakers, traders, and economists, making a difficult subject accessible without losing its structural critique. Its purpose is not only to explain monetary policy, but question who benefited from it, who was left behind, and why the recovery after the crisis felt so uneven across the economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how emergency monetary policy became a long-running economic regime. A core argument of the book is that the Federal Reserve's crisis response did not remain temporary. Leonard shows how zero interest rates and quantitative easing were introduced to prevent collapse in 2008, but then continued long enough to become a defining framework for the post-crisis economy. This matters because policies designed for emergency stabilization can change behavior when they persist. Cheap borrowing encourages leverage, raises asset values, and reduces pressure for broader structural reform. Leonard treats this shift as more than a technical policy debate. It marks the moment when the Fed moved from crisis manager to the main architect of economic conditions. The result is a system in which monetary policy did much of the work that fiscal policy and legislative action might otherwise have handled, leaving the central bank with extraordinary influence and limited democratic accountability. Secondly, why asset inflation benefited markets more than households? The book draws a sharp distinction between consumer price inflation and asset inflation. Leonard argues that the Fed's policies inflated stocks, bonds, real estate, and corporate debt far more visibly than wages or productive investment. That distinction is central to his critique because it explains why headline economic recovery could coexist with stagnation for many workers. When asset prices rise, the gains accrue mainly to people who already own financial assets, which tends to reinforce inequality. At the same time, households without significant investments may experience little direct benefit from higher markets and may even face worsening affordability in housing and other essentials. Leonard uses this lens to show that the apparent success of monetary stimulus can hide a deeper redistribution of wealth upward, making the economy look healthier in financial terms while leaving many ordinary Americans behind. Thirdly, the Federal Reserve as a powerful but opaque governing institution. Leonard presents the Federal Reserve not as a neutral technocratic background institution, but as one of the most consequential centers of power in the United States. A major theme is opacity. The Fed makes decisions through committees, internal debates, and specialized mechanisms that are difficult for the public to observe or evaluate. The book highlights how this structure can reduce democratic oversight, even as the Fed shapes borrowing costs, market expectations, and capital flows across the economy. Leonard is especially interested in the contrast between the scale of the Fed's influence and the limited public understanding of its actions. This creates a governance problem, not just a policy problem, when an unelected institution becomes the primary lever of economic stabilization. The question is no longer only whether its tools work, but whether such power should be so concentrated in the first place. Fourthly, internal dissent, especially Thomas Honig, reveals the cost of consensus. Rather than treating the Federal Reserve as a unified actor, Leonard emphasizes the internal conflict inside the institution. A recurring figure is Thomas Honig, whose skepticism toward prolonged easy money made him a notable dissenter on the Federal Open Market Committee. By focusing on him, the book shows that policy choices were contested, not inevitable. This is important because it undermines any impression that the Fed simply followed objective economic law. Leonard uses these conflicts to show how institutional consensus can marginalize warnings about longer-term risk, especially when most policymakers are focused on preventing immediate crisis. The dissent also gives the narrative moral and analytical depth. It demonstrates that serious alternatives existed, even if they were not adopted. In this way, the book turns Fed politics into a study of how powerful organizations handle disagreement under pressure. Lastly, easy money as a force that deepened financialization and corporate leverage. The book argues that prolonged low rates did not just affect banks and traders. They changed the structure of American capitalism itself. Leonard traces how abundant cheap capital encouraged debt accumulation, speculative behavior, and a stronger dependence on financial markets across the corporate sector. In this environment, companies could reward shareholders, borrow heavily, and pursue financial engineering rather than long-term productive investment. That process is often described as financialization, and Leonard presents it as one of the major unintended consequences of the Fed's post-2008 strategy. The implication is that monetary policy can shape corporate incentives as much as it shapes consumer borrowing. When the cost of money stays artificially low for years, the economy may become more vulnerable to bubbles, concentrated ownership, and instability later on. Leonard's broader warning is that easy money can solve one problem while quietly creating several others. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, readable account of modern monetary policy and its real-world consequences. Economically informed general readers will gain a clearer understanding of quantitative easing, zero interest rates, and the Federal Reserve's role after the 2008 crisis. Policy readers, journalists, investors, and students of American political economy will also find value in its examination of how central bank decisions affect inequality, asset markets, and institutional power. What makes the book stand out in its category is its combination of investigative reporting and structural critique. It does not simply explain what the Fed did. It asks who benefited, what was obscured, and why the same emergency tools became so durable. Compared with more technical books on monetary policy, it is more accessible. Compared with more ideological critiques, it is better grounded in reporting and institutional detail. That balance makes it especially useful for readers who want both explanation and argument, and who want to understand why the post-crisis economy felt strong on paper but uneven in lived reality. If you would like to support Christopher Leonard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.